So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, and welcome back to another episode of Freedom Rings. Now, I've reconfigured the mic again. Let's see how this sounds. Now, last week I had moved it further out and increased the sensitivity, and it was really picking up everything, so I moved it back, but in the meantime, I have gotten a pop filter, so it should help with my S's, my T's, in the event that I do something like that, which just did not spike like it typically does. So that's good. Not really a whole lot. I think I only paid like $12 for this thing online. It's a pop filter, George. Pop. With one O. Why would I mount a poop filter on my mic, George? Oh. I walked right into that one. George says, because I'm always talking out my... Good one, George. All right. So anyway, we are in New Hampshire for this week. Well, not physically, but I am doing Off the Beaten Path, and we are doing New Hampshire today. Before I get into that, though, I just want to talk about something out of Florida, and I know you have heard this story. You must be living under a rock or in a cave in the center of the earth somewhere if you have not heard about this video of these four or five minority kids high on weed in Florida that stood there and laughed and mocked this guy as he drowned. Now, I don't care who you are or what color you are. When someone is in need, you help. That's called being a human being. That's actually a difference between us and them, I suppose. You can clearly hear from these voices, these kids were not white. And just disgusting that they would let someone screaming for help just stand there and laugh and watch him drown. I cannot fathom people being like that. I really can't. The simple-mindedness of someone like that just boggles my mind. And they're not going to be charged. They said there's no law that says they did anything wrong. Well, I know there are some states, like New York, where if you watch a crime happen and you don't do anything to try and stop it, something even as simple as calling 911, it's a crime that you could be charged with. In fact, if you remember that stupid show Seinfeld, that's how the series ended. They were doing the same thing, watching a guy getting mugged. They were videotaping it, and they were making jokes just like these kids were, and they ended up going to jail. That kind of a law needs to go into effect for something like this. As long as you're not putting yourself in danger, you should be required to do something. To stand there and watch someone drown is pathetic. And I hope that something comes from this so that nothing like that happens in the future. It just totally sickens and disgusts me. So I'm off my soapbox for now. So let us get into the state of New Hampshire, heading back up to New England for this one, an area that I do know very well from my youth, having lived in New England. A lot of cool stuff to see and do in New Hampshire, unlike Nevada, which we had last week. And, oh, yeah. So, I was talking about O.J. Simpson being incarcerated in that prison in Lovelock, Nevada, and now he has been paroled. So, good timing on that one. So, getting back to the state of New Hampshire, it's got an area of 9,279 square miles. So it's almost twice the size of Connecticut. Still a very, very small state when you look at the average size of most states in this country. New England, other than Maine, has some pretty small states, and of course New Jersey and Delaware. Once you get outside of that area, then you start to have states that are about 300 miles in either direction, which is the normal size for a state. Now, the capital is Concord, not to be confused with the town here in North Carolina called Concord. See, that's the difference between the North and the South. We pronounce these things much the way that the English did. Concord, Salisbury, things like that. Lancaster. Anything with S-H-I-R-E on the end is pronounced Shire, like Brookshire. It's not Brookshire, it's not Brookshire. So you get all these Yankees coming down here, don't know how to pronounce our names, and it just aggravates me to no end, as you can probably tell. So the capital is Concord. New Hampshire and Massachusetts is both Concord. I think everywhere else actually pronounces it Concord. Now there are three major rivers. You have the Connecticut, of course, is the biggest. You have the Androscoggin and the Merrimack, but they're not really as big. The Connecticut River is actually the dividing line between the state of New Hampshire and Vermont. Now, it goes from sea level all the way up to 6,288 feet, which is at the top of Mount Washington, which I will be speaking about during this show because that is a very unusual place. Now, the state motto of New Hampshire is my most favorite of any state. It is live free or die. And I don't think there is a better motto out there. That should actually be the motto for the entire United States of America. Live free or die. We don't want to live any other way. I think if you're listening to this show, you would much rather be dead than enslaved. I certainly would not want to live in a society where I was not free to do what I would want to do. Now, the nicknames for New Hampshire are the Granite State, the Mother of Rivers, the Switzerland of America, and the White Mountain State. Now, it gets its name Granite State. Let me set my notes down here for a second. Because of the granite that is mined. Now, Vermont is well known for its marble, but New Hampshire, along with North Carolina, is known for its granite. And its granite has been found in many, 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 many well-known buildings around the world. New Hampshire granite is considered to be, I think, number two. Number one is the pink granite that comes out of Stony Creek, Connecticut. It's a little area just outside of Branford, Connecticut, where they have this gorgeous pink granite. And as far as I know, it's the only place in the world where they get pink granite. So again, New Hampshire is known for its wonderful, high-quality building granite. Now, something else that New Hampshire was well known for, unfortunately it no longer exists, was a natural rock formation called the Old Man of the Mountain. And it was a natural profile on the side of one of the mountainsides, one of the cliff faces, up in the White Mountains. And it looked just like the profile of an old man sticking off the side of this mountain. Now, we have one very similar here in North Carolina called Grandfather Mountain, and it looks just like a man with a beard, his face tilted back into the mountainside. And the Old Man of the Mountain was well known. In fact, if you've ever gotten a New Hampshire quarter, that is the image of the Old Man of the Mountain. And unfortunately, I think it was like within a year or two of the New Hampshire quarter coming out, due to natural age and fatigue, the majority of the Old Man of the Mountain slid down to the bottom of the mountain and unfortunately is no longer there. It used to be a really cool sight. When you were headed north, it was up, I believe it was on the left, you could look across and see it. The profile went from right to left, but I believe it was on the left-hand side of the road. Of course, I was probably 5 or 6 years old when I went to visit it, so my memory could be off a little bit. But it was still an amazing natural sight to see, and unfortunately, it is now gone. In the same general vicinity, however, you have Franconia Notch State Park, and this contains an abundance of glacial potholes. Now, glacial potholes are kind of pretty much what they sound like, as the glaciers would come down through these areas in these rivers, down the bottoms of these canyons. They would carve these deep potholes into the bedrock. One of the most famous is called the Basin. And you can actually still see the water eddying around in this thing, and it is carved out of solid granite. These things are really unique. I don't know of anywhere else outside of New England where you find glacial potholes. I suppose perhaps maybe in upper New York State somewhere you might find them, but certainly the most abundant place to find them is this area of New Hampshire. Now, the place I really want to talk about in great detail is called America's Stonehenge. Now, if you remember when I was talking about the Georgia Guidestones, I said that sometimes they are misnomered as America's Stonehenge. America's Stonehenge lays in New Hampshire, and it was originally called Mystery Hill. But as more and more research has been done into this, and they are pretty much determining that the Etruscans actually created this place, it's now commonplace to call it America's Stonehenge. And this lays in, I guess there's about 20 acres. I've been there personally and walked around, and it's a really cool place, by the way. And you go through the visitor center, and you come out, and it's all self-guided. They give you a little map, and you can walk around and look at the numbers and see what all is there. But most people do agree that this is the most significant pre-Columbian site in North America. And there is a lot of evidence that a substantial civilization actually flourished there at one time. Now, the reason that they think that this was done by the Etruscans is because there is a glyph of an Etruscan ship carved into one of the stones in this place. And there are, well, I guess you'd call them, they're stone structures. Some of them are subterranean. There is a big slab that looks like a giant carving platter that some people think may have been for human sacrifice, but very much like the Gungeewomp area in Connecticut, just outside of Groton and New London, this is pretty much thought to have gone back at least to the Vikings, if not before then. So it's a very, very interesting place to just wander around. There's calendar wheels and places that line up with certain sunrises and sunsets during the solstices. It's very, very interesting. And it is not that far really from Boston. And I'm looking here to see if it says exactly where it is, and it's not. It just says at the visitor center, evidence for both schools of thought are displayed in museum cases containing finds from this and other pre-Columbian sites. Yada, 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 yada. No, it's open daily May through October and on weekends, April and November, weather permitting. They do charge admission. I don't remember how much it was. It was also back in, I think, 1990 when I was there, so I'm sure it's changed a lot since then. But it is a very cool place to wander around if you're into ancient civilizations, particularly ones that don't go with the crap that we're taught in schools. Again, it's known as either Mystery Hill or America's Stonehenge. Now, for once, I am actually paying attention to the clock, and I am coming up where a break should really be taken. So, George is indicating here that I need to turn up the feed on my mixer here a little bit. He says I'm coming in a little bit on the quiet side. It's going to take a little bit of fiddling to get this up and running here completely, folks, so please bear with me. In the meantime, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take a short break and come back. Hopefully, I'll sound a little bit better. I've got plenty of other places to discuss with you in the great state of New Hampshire. Don't go away.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase, minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective. Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Now, there was a very interesting place off of Interstate 93, south of Plymouth. This is called, I think it is the Sculptured Rock Geologic Site. Now, this is along the Cockermouth River, and this particular stream has worn a chasm that's about 100 feet long and about 30 feet deep. Now, that's not very impressive. However, its granite walls are just literally striated with just a huge variance of colors. And they've been carved, and the whole thing has been polished by the water into like just a fantasy of bowls and curves and just amazing stuff, potholes. It's a really cool place to get down. Now you get down to the bottom, you got ferns, you know, that somehow or another they have just manifested themselves in the walls of this gorge. But the best vantage point is from a bridge that crosses the river. And if you're facing downstream and look directly below, you can see the shape of a lion's head that's been eroded into the rock. And the nose is at the stream, and there's a round hole marking a gape of the mouth. And other places, as you look down, you can see what appears to be a toad and a lizard head. Some primeval shell creatures with huge bulging eyes and whatever else your imagination and the water level at the time may allow you to see. Of course, probably whatever is in your system at the time may have something to do with that as well. But it's a pretty cool place. And this gorge is estimated to be about 1 million years old, and it is open year-round. Now, another place that's in the same general area is the Science Center of New Hampshire at Squam Lakes. Now, in the event that you didn't see On Golden Pond, or if you did, On Golden Pond was filmed at Squam Lake. It is a very, very scenic lake. It's pretty big, and there's a lot of stuff to see and do there. Now, if you're like myself and you don't like Fondas, then you've probably never seen this movie. But the Science Center itself has an exhibit trail, which is open from May 1st to November 1st, and it leads from the visitor center across some rocky meadowland and through a small stream that flows through the area. Now, the stream drains another ecological zone, which is an area of marshland, and it finally flows into a trout pond. Unfortunately, you can't fish it. The attractive expanse of water has a lot of white granite boulders along its edges, and it just mirrors venerable white pines and paper birches on its dark surface. So if you are into photography, this is a great place to set up and take a timed exposure. You know, open the lens up and you can really get some good color saturation here. Now, also in the general area are enclosures for bears, deer, owls, raccoons, and even bobcats. Now, further along the trail, there's a forestry exhibit and a 100-year-old steam-powered sawmill. So once again, you know, I like talking about the old-fashioned stuff. So this is a place where you can go and see one of these things that's still operating. Now, in July and August, they have live animals that are displayed, and they give talks. There's naturalists that come in. Naturalists, George, not naturists. Please pay attention. And they will discuss the local wildlife where you can actually see. You can't interact with them, unfortunately, but you can at least see them up close and in person if you are from the city and don't have the opportunity to deal with nature that often. Now, the rest of the year, the center has special programs for school groups. So if you're in that general vicinity and your school would like to go and take a field trip there, these are available. It is open year-round, and admission is charged from May 1st through November 1st. So if you're cheap and you hit it out of season, you can get in there for free. Now, in the extreme southwestern portion of New Hampshire, you will find Rhododendron State Park. This is just outside of Keene, so it's pretty easy to find on the map. Now, there's 294 acres that make up the Monadnock Hills. Ooh, got that one right. These Indian names sometimes are really hard to pronounce. But inside of this particular hill chain, you will find 16 acres of Rhododendron catawbiense and Rhododendron maximum. Yes, my Latin is much better than my Indian. Now, the stand of Rhododendron maximum it's the largest to be found at this northerly of a latitude. Now, these bloom in July, and it creates a flowering canopy about 15 feet high. Now, the park had its origin in 1902 when Mary Lee Ware bought the land to preserve the rhododendrons from the damage that was ensuing from a proposed lumbering operation. You know, these lumber barons back then, they just destroyed all kinds of stuff. So it was pretty much bought as a private preserve. And the year after, she donated the land to the Appalachian Mountain Club, who later gave it to the state of New Hampshire in 1946. That's really cool when people do that. Now, this rhododendron trail is easily walked. About half an hour, you can do this. And even when the rhododendron is not in bloom, it's still a really nice place to walk. Now, it's fairly open, and along the higher parts of the trail, you can look down on the carpet of rhododendrons that from elsewhere are above your head. This way you can look down on top of them. So it kind of juxtapositions your view of these things from over and below. And just off the path leading to the picnic area. So again, nice picnic area, folks. If you're into picnicking, this is a good place to do that. You will find a wildflower trail that was established and maintained by the Fitzwilliam Garden Club. And there's an interesting selection of wild plants that include ginger and Indian tobacco. And they've all been put, so it's like a small little arboretum in there. This place is open year-round. It doesn't say anything about anything being charged for admission. So, nice, cool place to check out. As you can hear in the background, the outro that I've chosen for today has already begun. Now, I decided to go with Strange Highways by Ronnie James Dio because Ronnie James Dio was from Concord, New Hampshire. And Strange Highways deals with the just myriad of places that we discuss here on Off the Beaten Path. It's a long song, so I'm not going to force you to listen to the entire thing because I know a lot of you do not have my taste in music. However, it will be playing in the background while I cover the two final locations for you to see. First of all is Miller State Park. And this park is in the Pac Monadnock Mountains. And the trail that you get there, it's very steep. And actually, they call it a road. I call it a trail. there's numerous hairpin turns to get around there. And it's paved, but it is it's pretty much unsuitable for buses or campers or for any driver that's not confident in his or her vehicle's brakes, you know, coming back down. But the drive up the mountain is it's really cool because, I mean, you're going up through several distinct zones of vegetation that reflect the influence of altitude on the climate and the plants that thrive there. So the view from the summit is, what they're saying here, it's really superb. And there's an observation tower that will bring you up even higher and give you a really cool perspective of the surrounding mountains and valleys. You can picnic at the peak, so once again, this is a nice place if you want to bring your lunch there. But you should be aware that it will be several degrees colder than at the foot of the mountain, and the wind up there can be pretty fierce. And speaking of fierce winds, let me just say here, it's open year-round, but it may be impassable during snow and ice season. Admission is charged daily in the summer and on weekends in late spring and early autumn. But speaking about high altitudes and fierce winds, as I mentioned earlier, Mount Washington. Now, Mount Washington is not the highest peak east of the Mississippi. I believe it's the second highest. Mount Mitchell here in North Carolina is the loftiest peak east of the Mississippi. But Mount Washington has fierce weather, folks. If you ever go up to Mount Washington, I don't care if it's July, bring winter clothing with you. They have blizzards in July on top of Mount Washington. The weather can change that quickly. Within 45 minutes, you can go from being 70 and 80 degrees to below freezing with blizzard conditions. It is that unpredictable. The highest winds ever recorded on Earth, in excess of 200 miles per hour, were recorded atop Mount Washington. It's a wonderful and cool place to visit, but as the Boy Scouts say, be prepared. Again, I don't care if it's July or August, bring full winter regalia with you. So that's going to do it for this week on Off the Beaten Path here on Freedom Rings. Next week we'll be coming back, we're in New Hampshire here, I believe New Jersey is coming up next week. And George, do you know why New Jersey is called the Garden State? Because there is a rose in bloom on every corner. So until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. As always, if you want to drop me a line, let me know how much you love the show, how much you hate it. Any suggestions, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until then, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.